So if you would, take your Bibles, turn to Leviticus in chapter 13. What we'll do here, we're obviously not going to read and explain every verse here. But what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and give a synopsis of one of the series that Brother Park did. He really did two series. He did the 11 o'clock hour in Leviticus. All right, again, teenagers, they love Leviticus, and so will you by the end of this, I'm sure. And so that was on the 11 o'clock hour on leprosy. We'll explain that tonight. And then the evening services, mostly in Amos, like Brother Tim was talking about. But we're gonna deal with basically what we've learned out of Leviticus about leprosy. If you would, take your Bibles and stand. We'll just read a few verses, and we'll be seated. First one. Am I off on this one? Okay, good. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or a bright spot. Are you excited? Is this good? And it be in the skin of his flesh, like the plague of, say that word, leprosy. Then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of the sons of the priests. If you go ahead and turn the chapter, stay in 13, go to verse 47. So for the rest, those verses that we're looking at, here's what you'll see in those verses. Is the you bring a man to the priests, and he makes sure, is this leprosy? Is it not leprosy? If it is leprosy, you'll remember this phrase. It's got to be dealt with. Yeah. You know what Dustin said? If you leave it, it'll get worse. Right. You can pretend like it's not there. It's going to get worse. Then verse 47, kind of seemingly random, the garment also that the plague of leprosy is in, whether it be a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it be in the, say that word, warp, or say that word, woof of linen or of woolen, and it goes on. So along the way, the leprosy can get into the clothing of the individual. And if it gets into the clothing, it's got to be destroyed because it will spread. The warp and the woof, we'll explain in a second, that's part of the clothing. But here's the point, leprosy spreads. And again, if it's not dealt with, it'll keep spreading. It'll keep spreading. And it'll affect relationships with others. It'll affect your relationship with God. It's got to be dealt with. It's got to be dealt with. Chapter 14, look at verse 1, and the Lord said to Moses, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his, say that word, Cleansing. Leprosy was a disease that had no cure. For the most part, if you had leprosy, it was a death sentence. But every once in a while, every very rare once in a while, someone would be healed of it. And when that happened, it was a miracle. You know God worked. And God can do miracles of cleansing, can't he? And he can heal that way. We'll explain that. And chapter 14 really deals with what happens if someone is healed clean from leprosy. And if you get all the way to chapter 16, if you would. Well, actually, that's not true. Chapter 15 talks about, well, let's look at 15, verse 1. This is still part of the cleansing process. Chapter 15, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, Speaking to the children of Israel, and saying to them, When any man hath a running issue out of the flesh. Oh, wait, no, that's not true. Never mind. Let's not do that, because we'll get deep. Okay, chapter 16. I'm trying not to keep us here forever. Verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses after the death of his two sons, Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, Speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place, within the veil before the mercy seat which is upon the ark, and that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud in the mercy seat. Chapter 16 talks about everything that it took for man to meet with God. For man who, leprosy being a picture of sin, and we're all lepers, yes, sinfully. We said it in Sunday school, we're kind of gross, right? We have sin in us, and we can't approach God. Well, you could. In the Old Testament, it took a lot. There's a whole thing. We're not going to go through it all. But today, it's been done. We don't have to go through all that. We can be in God's presence. So let's pray, and we'll just kind of go over this. and give you just a taste of what God did that week. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for the law of God and Leviticus and all of the processes, the procedures, and what can seem confusing and, Lord, just sometimes just downright in our minds, in our flesh, we feel like it's a waste of time. Why are we learning about all these different policies and procedures? But God, you're in and through all of it. We're thankful that every word of the Bible is strong and powerful. And I pray that you help us to glean from that tonight, and that you'd be honored. Christ in my prayer, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Now, we may or may not read verses here. I just want you to listen close, and I'll explain to you what's happening. I would encourage you now, after today's sermon, and after you have a better understanding of the big picture, what's going on, maybe read through these chapters 13 through 16. But we said that leprosy, it's a picture of sin. Why is that? Here's what leprosy was. If you're not aware, leprosy is something that would get on your skin or somewhere, and at first you have it, and it doesn't seem like a big deal. It's just kind of there, a little spot on your arm. But you don't even realize it, but it's deeper than that. And it spreads. And it's a disease that eats your body really from the inside out. It's kind of gross. We're not going to spend a lot of time, but I'll just suffice it to say, eventually, if left untreated, things start falling off. Like your body rots, decays, get numb. It wasn't uncommon for a leper to just lose a finger one day. His nose, fall off. And we're not going to, again, we're not going to get into all that, but the point is this, but really it's the point of the Word of God, that leprosy is a picture of sin. When we sin, we know it's there, and we see it, but we kind of want to ignore it, right? We don't want to deal with it. We don't want to mess with it. And we know this. We know it. If we just keep living this way, eventually it's going to really hurt our life. But we just don't want to deal with it. So the purpose of chapter 13 of Leviticus is to teach Israel how to recognize leprosy, and then if you recognize it, how to deal with it. And you'll see there, it is immediate. Immediate. You don't wait around. You don't mess with leprosy. If you know it's there, you got to separate. You got to get them, you know, into a different place, quarantine. Amen. We know about that now. And get them out of the camp, and you've got to deal with it. And listen, if you have sin in your life, if you're here tonight and you're not saved and your sin generally has not been dealt with, your sin before God has not been dealt with, you can ignore it if you want to, but if you do, it's going to get worse. It's going to affect more of your life, and more is going to rot, and more damage is coming. And I'm telling you, in the end, here's what leprosy ends in: death. And if something doesn't take place, you had no chance. And what we have that they didn't have is a cure. A miracle. Remember we said it? A miracle. And I think it's chapter 14. We're going to maybe go all over right now. But sometimes a miracle took place. And when it did, here's what the law told them to do: to take two birds. And there's other ways you can take two different animals. And you take two birds. Now pause. Just practically speaking, they were healed from a disease, like from a skin disease, like from a everything disease. And now we're taking two birds. And if you were like one of the Israelites, you might not fully grasp this, okay? And so at first, this might not make sense, but it will in a second, okay? But if a person was healed from leprosy, they would take two birds. And one bird they would kill. And here's what they would do, is they would pour the blood of that dead bird on the live bird. And then they let the live bird go. There you go. What? Like, why? What does that have to do? Okay, thank you. I feel better. I can go back to my family now. Why did God do that? Because it was a picture. Remember, leprosy is a picture. Being healed from leprosy is a picture of salvation, okay, and it's a miracle. And here's how the miracle worked. Today, when we're lost, we're in sin, And we have this problem of leprosy spiritually. We have this sin problem that has to be dealt with. And for our sin to be dealt with, there's one way for our sin to be dealt with. Do you remember what leprosy ends up with? Death. And so here's what God did to show them this. Two birds. An innocent bird killed. The blood of that innocent bird poured on this other bird. And the other bird goes free. Hey, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all deserve death. And so what God did is he became an innocent man. And he shed his blood. Why? So that we can go free. And if you think about the picture, you're walking around. Now, you would do this with the bird. They do this with goats. They do this with oxen, different ways to picture the innocent for the other, right? One life for another. And you would go around in the forest and you would see a goat walking around and it's got blood all over it. That's weird. Or you see a bird in the tree and you look at him and it's like, man, what's the deal with the blood on the bird? And then you think, oh, I know what happened there. That bird is free because another bird died. See it? That goats aren't just chilling in the wilderness. They're domesticated, right? You see a goat like that just going in the forest, you'll see blood on him and you say, I know why that goat is free, because another goat died. And if you're free from your sin tonight, it's because somebody else died. Picture. Leviticus is awesome. And so that's chapter, I believe it's 15. Maybe it's 14. Yeah, it is. Because halfway through 13, here's what we see. So the first half of 13, we saw what leprosy is. We saw how leprosy affects you. If you sinned, it affects you. It does. It destroys you from the inside out. You might ignore it if you want. It's going to eat you up. Leprosy literally ate them up, didn't it? But sin, if you leave it unchecked, will eat you up. And you're going to act like you're okay. But eventually your nose will fall off. You know what I'm saying? And it shows up. And it hurts. The longer you leave it and you don't deal with it, the more of you is destroyed. The longer you hold on to that sin that God's dealing with you, the harder it will be, the more it will hurt you, and the more it'll hurt you when it's done. Whenever you finally deal with it, the harder that's going to be. The longer you wait, the worse it is. So it affects you. But verse 47 of chapter 13 talks about the garment. So what's the deal with the garment? Well, first, the garment, how did it get it? Well, it was on a leper. And so the leprosy gets from the leper into the garment he wore. It spreads. And talks about, verse 47, a woolen garment, a linen garment. And then it says this, and the warp and the woof. And again, here's what that means. If you take a shirt and you look really, really close at it, right? Here's what you'll see. Linen cloth, you'll see. It's very tightly and very microscopically, but it's woven, right? You've got threads going up and down, and you've got threads going left and right. And they're kind of interwoven. And so here's the point. If there's a spot of leprosy, like on your shirt, if it gets in the warp and the woof, and if it's in this direction, if you think about two threads, listen to me. If this thread has leprosy in it, what are the odds that this thread doesn't have leprosy in it? Impossible. It's impossible. Well, what about up and down? What if it has leprosy? What are the odds that this one doesn't? Also impossible. Here's the point, and it's a picture. If you have sin with you and God, it is impossible but that it will affect your relationship with people. If you're not right with God, you won't be right with people. You might be wondering, why can I never get along with anybody? There's a good shot you're not right with God. Because when you're wrong with God, you're wrong with people. The opposite is true, isn't it? If you're wrong with people, you're not right with God. Isn't that what John said? You go to 1 John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And if we say we love God, but we don't love people, we're lying. We're lying. And so they go together. And so sin destroys you. Sin destroys your walk with God. sin destroys your relationship with people. And it must, listen, it must be dealt with. You can ignore it if you want, but eventually it'll eat you up from the inside out, and then not only will it affect you, but it'll affect everyone around you, and it'll affect God Himself. It must be dealt with. And the only way it's dealt with is a miracle. You're not going to do something to make it go away. You need God to work. And again, that's been the purpose of the two birds, right? And if you're not saved tonight, You're not gonna do something to make your sin go away. You can't. There's no other way to do this. There's no cure. There's nothing man can do about this. Only God can fix this. And God did. He became the Lamb. He bled for you. And you cry out on Christ. You believe with all your heart, Romans says, that you're a sinner. You deserve death. You believe with all your heart that Jesus died for you, on your behalf, substituted, the just, the innocent dying to give you life. You believe Jesus did that for you, and He rose the third day to defeat death. If you believe, hey, listen, if you believe that with all your heart, the Bible says then you just have to confess with your mouth. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made. Going to pick on Nick for a little bit. I'm rhyming. But he didn't, at first, that first time we prayed at the altar, he didn't understand it. He didn't get it. He didn't know what was going on. But he was paying attention. He learned. And he understood the gospel. He understood what Jesus did. And then along the way, he believed in his heart that he deserved hell forever. He believed in his heart that Jesus is the one who died in his place. And then because he believed, he went down to that crate. And he just called out on Christ. That's it. Did you have to like stand on your head or anything, spin around? Did you have to go on Facebook Live and tell the whole world everything you've ever done? No. Here's all he had to do. Cry out. Why? Because he believed in his heart. And that's the miracle that takes place. And if you're saved today, you can still have leprosy in you. You can be saved, your sins forgiven for eternity, but still live in sin. And when you, even as a saved person, if you're living in sin, it still affects your walk with God, and it still affects your relationship with people, and it still must be dealt with. And 1 John 1:9 says, "For if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us clean from all unrighteousness." And so you're always one prayer away from being clean. And it brings us then to chapter 16. And we'll just very quickly deal with this part. But it is interesting that right after he talks about leprosy, he talks about this in the presence of God. And it kind of sets us up for that because none of us deserve to be in the presence of God. We're all lepers spiritually. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve to be in God's presence. And so God did, though, make a way that Israel could be in God's presence. And I'm just, for sake of time, I'm just not going to deal with all of it. But if you read chapter 16 of Leviticus, you see that Aaron, if he wanted to go into the Holy of Holies represented the presence of God. If he wanted to go in and meet with God, it was a whole big thing. He had to bathe. He had to kill an animal. He had to do all these sprinkle the blood, do this whole ceremony. He had to sacrifice some things in his life. He had to bring an animal from himself, and then he had to bring another animal for the people. And it was all these processes. We're just not going to get into. He had to deal with his own sin. He had to deal with the sin of the people. There was a scapegoat. Again, another one of those pictures of the reason. Hey, the reason you can be in God's presence is because somebody died to make you clean so you can be in His presence. There's a whole thing. It was hard. It was hard to be in the presence of God. Here's what Brother Park said. How about you? Do you know how you can be in the presence of God this morning, and this morning, and tonight, anytime? Here's all you got to do. Dear Lord. Boom. And you're in the presence of God. The Old Testament didn't know that. They didn't have that. But because all of that stuff that Aaron had to do, Jesus accomplished in the real temple in heaven. Remember in Revelation we talked about that? There's a temple in heaven, and the temple on earth is a replica of that. Well, Jesus was the sacrifice. He paid the price. He made us clean. And he was our great high priest who did everything Aaron did, but he did it once and for all. And now today, all we have to do is be in the presence of God. Here's the point. If you don't spend time with God, there's only one reason. You don't want to. That's it. You don't have to go to a market and buy some animals and go and kill one and pour it on and do the thing and take a bath and do the ritual and spread the blood. You don't have to go through all of that. You have to do one thing. Dear Lord. Boom. And he talked about if we were to go back in time and bring Aaron to the future and say, hey, Aaron, guess what we have to do to get in God's presence? He said, oh man, here we go. What is it? Well, watch. Dear Lord. What? That's not fair. It's fair. God's fair. But we do have an advantage over Aaron, don't we? And you can right now, in like 2 seconds, be in God's presence. Now, you can't just come however you want. You can't just come having sinful thoughts and actions. You're going to have to come before him. You are going to have to sacrifice. You are going to have to humble yourself before God. You are going to have to want to have your sins be far from you. You need to come to him first with a repentant heart. But you don't have to go through that whole process. Jesus did that. You say, dear Lord, I'm sorry for who I am. Be merciful to me, a sinner. You know what I've done. And it would be a good time. It would be a good thing to start with repentance, because God doesn't hear the prayers of someone who's unrepentant. But you're one prayer away. One prayer away. You don't even have to do anything. You did some stuff that you really do need to do stuff to make it right with people. Do that after the prayer. But the moment you repent before God, the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The moment you say sorry to God, the way like Misty was talking about, he immediately comes to you and you're in his presence. That's awesome. And so if you're not close to God, you can make all the excuses you want. You can say it's because of the way I was raised. You can say it's because of how people treat me. You can say this or that. But here is the truth. If you are not close to God, there's one reason alone. You just don't want to. God's done everything. He just has done everything that you need to be in God's presence. So all you have to do is confess your sins before him, and you're in the presence of God. Amazing. Amazing. And we don't deserve that. We're lepers. You know, the actual lepers, they didn't really do anything to contract that. We're actually worse than lepers. We've chosen to be sinful people, haven't we? And if that's the case, if there's some sin between you and God, here's the point tonight. It's got to be dealt with. It's got to be dealt with. If you don't deal with it, it'll spread. If you don't deal with it, it'll crush you. If you don't deal with it, it'll affect your relationship with people. If you don't deal with it, you cannot be in God's presence. But I'm telling you, the moment you deal with it, then you're in the work begins to be made right, and then you're in a position then for the relationships in your life to be made right. You're in a relationship. You're in a position to stop the spread and stop the damage. And I've seen God do miracles in people's lives. I've seen God clean up some pretty nasty messes. And if God can heal leprosy, he can help you. And if you're not getting God's help, there's only one reason. You haven't chosen to. It's not on God's end. God's not like, nope, you got to earn it first. No, that's not it at all. You have to humble yourself before God and ask. And he will be right there. Right there. God, thank you for who you are. God, thank you for being a holy and righteous God. God, thank you that you are righteous and you are just. And Lord, you do deal with sin. You're not okay with who we are. We do thank you for that, because we know who we are. God, we don't deserve to be in your presence, but I'm so thankful that you're such a loving and gracious God, and you've offered a way that we can be healed of our uncleanness. You've offered a way that our sin can be dealt with. And you've made a way so that we can have relationship with you again. We can restore relationships with those around us again. We can stop the spread of damage in our life. But God, we need you for that. If there's anyone in here that's struggling with sin and hasn't made the decision to just give it to you. God, I pray that you help them deal with it tonight. Don't wait. Don't let them wait. And just destroy more of themselves. Destroy more of those around them. Destroy further the relationship with you. Help them to now, this moment, now, to deal with it. Deal with it. And watch as you work miracles in their life. We love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand together. If God's worked in your heart tonight, now is the time to deal with it. Don't wait. You see leprosy on you, you don't wait. You don't wait to see if it's good. If it's good.